In studio, we have Dr. Zondi Spamandla, yes, who is a project coordinator at the Archie Mafeshe Research Institute at UNISA. I actually passed it right. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning, and I'm good.
Nice answer. I'm good morning and I'm good. Well, Dr. Spamandla Zondi is currently the director at the Institute for Global Dialogue. In the past, he's been a program head for the African and South African at the Institute for the Global Dialogue. He's also a program coordinator for the SADC Integration of Africa Institute of South Africa, also coordinator at the SADC Integration of at African Institute of South Africa. Can I just ask something, Doctor? Why do they like to complicate the names? Like, if you read the name, it's always...
What was supposed to be is that Spamandla Zondi works with the Institute for Global Dialogue and is an honorary professor of politics at the University of South Africa, and that he previously worked at the Africa Institute, and the positions he held was a coordinator of SADC program and a coordinator of sustainable development.
No,
and that is it. And sometimes people want to give you a very long list to cover for your smallness.
And you're like, or they also name an institute the African Research for Africa. Like, why don't you just say the African Research Institute? It's always confusing to some of us.
It's the SADC, and it's a big organization.
Yeah,
it means we've got someone pretty intent in the studio.
Yeah, we do.
We are talking, of course, the Archie Mafeshe Research Institute. And the big question amongst a lot of students I know is that, what is the Archie Mafeshe Research Institute?
Yep, it's very easy. The Archie Mafeshe Research Institute is a research come policy institute that is being established by the University of South Africa to look into African knowledge, look at ways of knowing about Africa and ways of understanding conditions under which Africans lived, and with a purpose of finding some innovative answers to challenges that Africans face. For example, Africans in Ethiopia face the question of famine, and they know that every year they're going to come across serious hunger. Africans in countries like Sierra Leone expect to be in conflict almost every particular season of the year. Africans in Namibia, in Mozambique, expect to have a flood that will hit them at some point. We have to find a way of understanding what is happening so that people can cope better with those situations and actually overcome them. So it is meant to be a platform where you would have a combustion of knowledge and ideas among African scholars who are committed to a renaissance of Africa on the basis of knowledge.
So is it safe to say it's an institution that grooms people to look at African problems and find African solutions to them?
You got it, Juan. I think we must employ you as our marketing manager.
He's got a job
and
now.
And I'm getting a job.
He's got a job. You know? Anyway, we read here that says that the University of South Africa established the Archie Mafeshe Institute for Applied Social Policy Research, given the synergies that exist between the vision of UNISA and the aspirations reflected in the Archie Mafeshe's work. Now, when they say Archie Mafeshe's work, we know he was a sociologist, right? Now, why is there synergy? Why this collaboration?
The institute is really named after Archie Mafeshe because Archie Mafeshe was one of those preeminent African scholars who really believed that there was something in Africa that needed to be understood on the basis of African perspective in order to better understand what is happening in Africa. He was a true Pan-Africanist, a true believer in the potential for Africa to be something great. And he dedicated all his life in exile, of course, because he couldn't teach in South Africa. He could not get an employment at the University of Cape Town because he was unacceptable as a black man who had become too successful too early. And he had to go all over the world, all over the continent to study, to teach and to research in Cairo, in Dakar, Senegal, in Nairobi, Kenya, produced a whole lot of great, interesting knowledge about how to understand tribalism, for example, how to understand ethnicity, how to understand social policy, how to understand people's dependency on government, how to understand passive citizenship, how to understand democracy and why it's not happening on the continent. All of those personify the vision that UNISA has with Achim Afeja, which is why it is named after him, to stimulate a similar kind of thought, but also to honor him as a man who, in his last days, spent time at UNISA as a fellow.
Now, Doctor, another question, because you went now in depth as to what he was actually doing. But I think a lot of people, including myself, had no idea of who he actually was. Who is Achim Afeja, or who was he?
The late Achim Afeja was a professor at UNISA in his very last days.
Really?
Yes, he was a fellow under the NRF, who was then located at UNISA. Is a guy who supervised quite a number of very promising UNISA scholars. I'm sure you know Professor Puleng Linkabula, who's in the principal's office. He's one of the prodigies, but he worked with a number of other people right towards the end of his life when he finally came back to South Africa in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And he made his contribution back in South Africa after being away for about
such
three decades.
Time, yeah.
That's the reason why many people do not know about him. He spent all of his time in exile because South Africa rejected him. The South African universities of the time rejected him. They were not ready to have an African scholar. They're not ready to have somebody who looks at Africa from an Afrocentric point of view. They were not ready for the kind of big questions he had to raise about how knowledge is being produced, how knowledge is being taught, how causes are structured. Merely to regurgitate what is produced elsewhere about Africa, and that is the man. But he was a very sharp tongue. He was a great debater.
He looks very humble.
He was very, very sharp, very interesting, and he took no for an answer. He really was a very radical scholar and a very interesting person, committed to bringing young scholars up.
Now, Dr. Zondi, do you think? Well, because we exist in a institute of higher learning. Do you think such scholars can come up, like that generation of scholars, sharp, to the point, they know what they're doing, they're dedicated to... do you think there's going to be a generation like that ever again? Because we look at them, they're slowly but surely dying out because they're old. You know, they're in their retirement years, and we cannot be bothering them now, like come back to the universities. Do you think that such people are going to come back?
Two conditions will be required for that to happen. Mm. It won't happen automatically. Certainly not. Mm. Now, why? Because the system under which we function is not designed to promote those kinds of scholars. Independent-minded, produce something new, stimulate your mind, challenge you, keeps you awake at night when they speak to you. The system is not designed to do that. The system is meant to reproduce the same kind of Africans we've always seen, which is Africans who are only looking to be employed and looking to grow, get married, and die. In other words, you existed. So two conditions will be required. One is a concerted effort to encourage original thinking about among Africans, especially young and upcoming Africans, that would enable us to then invent new things. Because we can only invent new things if we can be original in our thinking and be very critical and innovative. The second condition is if we produce exemplary and model scholars who will encourage younger scholars to also emulate them. Because without those role models, we can only follow the role models we see, which is people who simply succeed by luck and become big people because they're gold diggers and become successful because they're
on TV.
They
do drugs and stuff like that. Mm. And we need new role models. And the university, such as the University of South Africa, has a huge responsibility to produce those role models that are going to inspire a whole cop of young people who also wants to think original and are proud of being Africans, but they know that a new African must be innovative, must be technologically savvy, must provide solutions to problems.
Well, let's have an eye off.
Okay. Do you think that is what the research institutes will try to... Well, that's the bigger goal?
Actually, this institute would die and would be of no use, would be a waste of a resource if it does not stimulate a new energy. among younger people about the importance of knowledge, because knowledge is power, but knowledge from an African point of view. So that when Africans are meeting others, they come on their own basis to contribute in a what we call a cacophony of voices, and that many colors of knowledge can then appear well when the African knowledge is done. It has got to do that. If it doesn't, it will become one of those normal academic, dead, archive-looking like institutions that are never going to inspire young people.
This is deep. I wasn't expecting any of this. If you're listening out there, you are a UNISA student. Okay, still talking about the research institute, Achi Mafeje. An important question that
arose, yes.
Right between Oletabo and I, is that at UNISA, we've got a large number of undergraduate students. Okay, and we know that it's a research institute. So are we saying now, is it only a platform for postgraduate students?
No, not really. Because the knowledge that we need to change Africa for better, and the knowledge that we need to make a difference, the knowledge that we need to become active citizens in actually achieving this renewal of the continent, the knowledge that we need to make a case that we are a better people as black people mainly, as Africans generally, is the knowledge that we need from everyone who is a conscious African. And for that reason, while there will be a big component of the Achi Mafeje Research Institute work that requires your high-level sophisticated research skills, which you'll find mainly among your postgraduate, honors, masters, and PhD, and there'll be a lot of space for them, there is also space for interaction, for discussions, for initiatives by younger students who are in their undergraduate studies, not only in the social sciences, but across the all sciences.
Ah, nice.
Especially those who realize, if they can realize this one thing, that knowledge is power. Those who realize that knowledge is power, and that knowledge does not just come from elsewhere, it also comes from us too. Then
so
they have a space.
That statement, knowledge is power, I think people are just using it in the wrong context now.
And it now sounds like a cliche.
Yeah.
You know, when someone says knowledge is power, you're like, whatever. But yeah. Knowledge is power. If you don't know, you're powerless.
Indeed. Especially in the world today. The less today, very few economies are actually strong on the basis of having natural resources. Very few economies are built on oil, on gold, on all of those things. But the future economies, the economies that are big now, are those that have acquired power and have acquired the technology and innovation in order to be among the best in the world.
Is that what
and
they call
Africa
the
is future is in that.
Is that what they call the knowledge economy? You know, you always hear
we
people
call,
talk, yeah.
We call knowledge economies mainly because the gold we have today and the silver we have today, the oil we have to build a better Africa, is not the gold you find underground. It is the one you find overground, which is the knowledge that is in people's heads. People are going to sit back and say, how do you enable people in Namibia to transfer their monies the quickest way to a Kenya without using the old systems that we have? That's knowledge. And somebody's going to invent that, and on that basis of that, that particular country will become the greatest country in the world. So the people who are in the natural sciences, the people who are in other fields, who have ideas that they think would give expression to this idea that knowledge is power, would have to be welcome in this Achi Mafeje Institute.
Yes, now we were talking off air about that UNISA is an African university and that this is the Achi Mafeje Research Institute, and he was a Pan-Africanist. And now we also have Tamale, which is the Tabombeki African Leadership Institute. You know, all of these are sort of Pan-Africanist thinking. They're all together in the paradigm. Now, are there going to be collaborations in the future? Do we see UNISA being a powerhouse in this field of research in Africa? Is that what we're working towards?
I wonder how many people who are part of the UNISA community realize how huge a promise they have made by saying we are an African university in service of humankind. It's a huge paradigm shift. First to call ourselves an African university, that is a huge one. And therefore, what we have seen is this, what we call proliferation of Pan-Africanist Institute. We've spoken about the Timali Thabo Mbeki African Leadership Institute, where I teach, of course. And then we have the Institute of African and Asian Studies. Then we have the African Languages and Science Academy, which is about how you use African languages to benefit the continent economically, socially, and so on. Now we have this Achim Afeja Institute. So something is really coming up here. You are right to sense that something is evolving here. And that if UNISA understands the strategic value of this, the UNISA would be a center of excellence on how to galvanize Africa to take control of its destiny and galvanize young Africans to become great people. Okay, on the basis of their understanding of their destiny.
We've got like a minute left. Today's big event, of course, between 10:30 and 5:00 is the launch of the Achim Afeja Research Institute. Okay, but Doctor, what are your last words with regards to you inviting people to come attend to the launch today? What can we expect?
Young people, people who believe in Africa, people who believe that they are not Africans by mistake, but they are Africans by design. People who think they have ideas and they think they are active agents of change, please come join us in this public ceremony from 10:00 to 12:30. It's a public ceremony where the institute will be formally launched. And that will be followed by a panel discussion by scholars from all over the world who are Pan-Africanists, who will be sharing with us their ideas with regards to how they think we could take this process forward. Please come and join, come be with us, have fun. We can join for half of the time, we can join for a quarter of the time, we can join for the whole time, and I hope you'll have fun as you do so. But more than anything, join with the purpose, and the purpose must be you want to be a change agent. Africa cannot be the same because you were born in Africa.
Wow, I feel like actually talking in Africa in an African tongue now.
Me too. I just feel like saying, "Okay, I'll
lose our jobs."
I know, lose my job. Oh, Dr. Zondi, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Inspired,
I feel and
yeah, I feel inspired just, now.
And I get his sentiments. You know, I think UNISA has made a big commitment to putting itself as in a position of being the African university. And I think there's a lot of work to be done. You know, I guess Oletabo and I, you know, are the first. Identified agents.
Yeah. So when you're looking, Dr. Zondi, look in this direction, you know.
You see us. Dr. Zondi, please enjoy the rest of your day and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inspiring me too.